Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. God is good. He's so good. You know, I was inspired to pray there for our state. I don't know if you know, but there's a lot of things that are happening in the state that aren't real good right now. They have just passed a law in this state where you can up until the moment before delivery, you can abort a baby. So you can take a fully grown baby in this state, a fully viable baby, a baby that's living, breathing, and can feel, and they brutally murder it in the womb of the mother. And that's made legal. And there's so many people that are just so excited because it's some kind of, apparently it equates to some kind of woman's right to do that. And I don't know, but murder has never been the right of anybody. I've never seen where murder was a good thing or beneficial. I don't believe it is when the baby's just covered by the stomach skin and muscles. Amen? I mean, because that's all the difference is. They're just on the inside, not on the outside. It's disgusting. And as we learned this week, and I believe it, that it's a sacrifice to Satan is what it is. That's exactly what's happening. Now, a lot of these mothers, they don't know what they're doing. A lot of these mothers, we feel for them. We need to pray for them. And this is why the church needs to be strong, because we need to support people to get into these positions. But God has never called people to abort their babies, to sacrifice their babies in such a horrific and awful way. And this is exactly what kind of government we have. Praise the Lord, I'm not trying to get political, but look at who's in office. We had a shift in New York State, didn't we? They all went one way, didn't it? And look at the kind of stuff that we get. That's all you got to do is look at who gets in there and look what they do, and that's who you know not to vote for. Praise the Lord. And I'm telling you that because, you know, the church needs to know this stuff. You know, some people, they don't like getting political, and I try not to get political, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. It's disgusting. And the people that vote for these kind of people, they are the one, they are putting their rubber stamp of approval on every single thing they do. So every time every time a baby is aborted in this state freely, every time that kind of stuff is given over, if you cast your vote in that direction, that's what you voted for. And people, and see, what they do is they do a lot of things under the guise of, a lot of politicians would do things under the guise of, oh, we care about people, and we care about jobs, and we care about this and that. They don't care about any of that stuff, because if you're killing the most innocent in such a brutal manner, you don't care about anything else. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's why it's important. It's important that we pray. As Christians, we need to pray. But we also need to vote. We also need to do things. We need to stand up and say, you know what? This stuff isn't right. And when people are talking around us, we need to say sometimes, you know, this stuff isn't right. It's not right what's going on. It's not right to let men use women's bathrooms when a little girl could be in there. That's not right. I said it's not right. Praise the Lord. We need to understand this stuff. It's not right that you just, you know, people talk about, oh, praise the Lord, how far do I go with this? I'm going to stop right there, hallelujah, because I can get into some stuff. And see, that's the difference. I want to follow the Spirit, not the flesh, amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord, glory to God. But I got opinions, I ain't going to share them, amen. At least not this time, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, that's all free, no charge, but we're preaching a message here. He'll bless you today. I believe it. You know, I was excited when God gave it to me. Actually, I was so excited. It distracted me a little bit from last night's service. And so in the beginning, and I got into it. But praise the Lord. But last night's service was good. Praise the Lord. People were helped and lives changed. Glory to God. But today's message is going to help us. Today's message is called, "And God Blessed Them." Praise the Lord. "And God Blessed Them." Well, praise the Lord. Three people like that. Hallelujah. God bless them. Hallelujah. Well, people don't like it when I preach bold, but I say talk about God bless them. They don't like that either. What's going on here? Yeah. Praise the Lord. We need to get excited about the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless them. We're gonna talk about God's blessing today. God's desire for blessing in our lives. Amen. You know, we have a lot of instruction, and I know that. And instruction is good. Instruction helps us. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, "Whom the Lord loves, He chastens." In other words, who the Lord loves, He corrects. Amen. If you love your children, you will correct them. If you are a parent that does not like to correct your children, then you are a parent who does not love your children. Correction is necessary for children. Praise the Lord. Why is that? Because children won't naturally do what they're supposed to do. People won't naturally do what they're supposed to do. That's why God gave us the law. Amen. But the law is not meant to hurt us and to condemn us. It was meant to move us in that place of blessing. But we're going to see today in Scripture how God's desire is blessing. Amen. And God desires that we be that we be blessed, and that we live blessed, and that we are happy in life. Hallelujah. One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. Amen. I just love that. We had a joyous service this week. Praise God, where people were shouting and there wasn't nobody running, but we were pretty close to it. Hallelujah. You know, different camps do different things, but praise the Lord, we believe in that camp. We'll be running soon, amen. But, there's lots of good things that are happening, amen. God wants to bless us, and I just thought this was a good time for this service, amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to start in Romans 1, so you can turn there, Romans 1:19. Praise the Lord. You know, there's this song, it's kind of a gospel-y song, I guess you'd call it, but it's called "The Lord is Blessing Me Right Now." I just love singing that song. The Lord is blessing me right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessing. He's thought of ways to bless me right now. Right now, as I'm walking down the street and I'm just minding my own business and I'm loving my life, I'm just walking along doing my thing, and God's up there thinking about how to bless me. Praise the Lord. He's not thinking about how to bless me. He's thinking about how to get me to understand that he's blessing me. Amen. Because he's already figured it all out. Praise the Lord. We just got to hook up to it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we're going to start here, Romans 1:19. These are some, I've told you many times, Romans is one of my favorite books of the Bible, if not my favorite book of the Bible. There's so much packed in such a small book, but praise God, it's not small, but small compared to the whole book, amen, hallelujah. But you know, Romans is a good roundabout, a good overview of all of what God desires and plans for us, amen. Praise it's the ABCs of faith, hallelujah. Romans 1:19 starts off. It says, "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." In other words, you know, manifest is when something comes forth. It's when something is shown. So what may be known of God is shown or manifest in them. Praise the Lord, for God has shown it to them. Praise the Lord. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Hallelujah. What we see here in these scriptures is that everything that we can get a visual, a roundabout visual of all that God is, praise the Lord, all that we can understand, all that we are capable of understanding, we can see that in creation. Amen. We can look to see what God wants for us, what he desires for us in creation. Now notice I said creation. Creation is not necessarily what creation becomes, but it's how God created it. It's very important to know that there's a difference between that, because today we live in a world that has been manipulated by sin. We live in a world that has been manipulated by the devil, around people that have been manipulated by these things. And so we can't just necessarily know all of God's will just by everything that's going on. But how was it created? See, that's what God is saying to us. And of course, there's processes in creation that still happen every day. There's life that happens. I love our seasons because I think we're the most blessed to be able to see this in the area that we live. How do we know that? Because when one thing dies, you know, we see the seasons go through the change. And right now we're in a season of things laying dormant and things seeming like they died. You look out there and nothing looks alive, but pretty soon, you know, spring is coming. And when spring comes, man, it's just like a reinvigoration. You just get pumped up and excited. You know what I mean? You know, people that live in sunshine all the time, they don't realize how good it actually is. I mean, they like it, but they don't realize, because they don't go through winter going, oh God, I need that sunshine. Hallelujah. I want that. I want those spring smells and the stuff like that, you know. And so we get to see this process, amen, and we get to see God's beauty and through the changes of the seasons. I just think we're really blessed here, amen. I know we complain about the snow and stuff, but hey, you know, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of money that's been made off of pretty pictures of the snow. Amen. You can look out there. I mean, you could go on social media and you can find pictures all the time of people that you know, you just look outside and there's snow. All it did was snow. It's just frozen water laying on the ground, and yet it's so beautiful. And we'll take pictures. If you look out there this morning, I don't know if it's really doing it right now, but it was coming down real nicely just before church. Amen. And you know, that could be a hindrance in some ways, but we could also look how beautiful it is. You know, if you get to drive around in it, you've got like a TV screen right in front of you of just prettiness right in front of you. Don't look at snow. You gotta look at snow, right? You know what I'm saying? You say, hey, that's actually kind of pretty. It doesn't scare you as much when it's pretty. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we get to see these wonderful things, but we get to see in creation God's purpose and his plan. You know, I love the springtime, because when things start coming to life and things start growing again, you know, it represents the seasons in our lives. And when we think about, okay, I'm in a season right now that's cold. I'm in a season where there's not much going on. I'm in a season where you just want to be, hid out. You know, you want to be hiding in some cave somewhere and with a fire, just be wrapped up in a blanket. You don't want to go anywhere. You know, and you don't want to, but I'm going to be in a season soon where there's life and there's growth, and everything that I've planted will all the seeds that I've planted in the previous seasons are going to come and grow and produce more, because that's how our God is. Amen. That's how he created things. And he created us to show us that, so that even in a winter season that we can sit there and smile, because we know the sunshine's coming. Amen. Praise the Lord. And see, as humans, so often we get caught up in the moment. We get caught up in the stress and the strife of things that are around us. And we forget that sometimes, what we need to do is we need to focus on God, who always takes our thoughts and understanding away from that place and puts it on something that's greater and better. Amen. Praise the Lord, because God wants us blessed. So we see here that his invisible attributes can be clearly seen in the creation of creation. And so we need to look to creation, and we need to look at how things were created. Amen. And to do that, we're going to go all the way back to Genesis 1. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Go back to Genesis 1, verse 1. Hallelujah. This is the beginning. The word Genesis means the beginning. Amen. Glory to God. We're excited to find out how God created us. Genesis 1:1. Amen. You shouldn't have to turn too many pages. Go to the beginning. Praise the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is a real... it doesn't seem like a very profound scripture, but it actually is. There's a lot that is riding on this scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Praise the Lord. That's purpose. Praise the Lord. That tells us that there was purpose to it all. We know that God doesn't do anything without purpose. So if in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, everything that's in them, every creation, every part of creation, it has purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a good thing to know. Amen. We have purpose. We're not just accidents. How many know it's even if you were an accident, you're not an accident? Amen? You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Sometimes we're not really accidents. We're surprises. We can be surprises for our parents. You know what I'm talking about. But even if you're considered an accident, even if nobody wanted you, God has purpose for you. God has purpose for you being here. God has purpose for what you can do in life. Amen? Even if things weren't perfect, even if things didn't come out perfect because of the manipulation of sin and what it's done in the world and what it can do in humans and stuff, God doesn't make people broken. You know that, right? God doesn't make people less than or anything like that. God has great purpose. But, you know, there's natural processes that come into play sometimes that alter things. But God still even works in that, because he still has purpose even there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I could go on, but I'm going to go on. Amen. In verse 2, it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, this is a real interesting thing, and there are some different arguments about this, what is going on here. But we understand that, at least I believe this, praise the Lord, I believe I can prove it with other scripture. I've actually had people leave us over what I'm about to tell you, but I'm going to tell you, so don't leave us. Amen. But verse 1 and verse 2 are not consecutive things. In other words, it wasn't just the first one and then immediately the second one. But there was a space and time between these two verses. And when you do some, if you do some in-depth study of the Bible, you can get into this. Just reading it on the surface, you might not see that. But we're going to see some things here in this that would point to that, even a little bit with us as we're going here this morning. That word without form, okay, guess what it means? It means formlessness. Amen. That's good. Amen. But it also means wasteland, place of chaos and confusion. Amen. Now, it's interesting that we see this, because when we study this out, one thing that we know about God is that God is not a God of chaos. He's not a God of confusion. We're going to see that here in a minute. But God does not create things without form and void. Amen. He doesn't create things without purpose. Without form and void indicates that there's not really purpose to it. You know what I mean? That's just kind of, it's just kind of there. It's kind of the Big Bang kind of stuff. It just exploded. It was there. There's no reason for it. But that's not how God makes things. When we see God all through Scripture, remember, what may be known of God can be seen in His creation. What may be known of God can be seen in His creation. When we look at life, when things are operating the way that they're supposed to, what do we see? We see a very purposeful, methodic steps. We see, you know, first there's this, then there's this, then there's this, then there's this. Amen. It doesn't just kind of happen all over the place. It doesn't go backwards. It doesn't start in the middle and then come out. You know, when you look at, I think about this all the time. I was thinking about just a baby and how it's, how a baby is created in the womb and how a baby, how it grows and how it comes together. It's an amazing process, really. If you think about it, and the fact of how two people come together to make that baby, it's not something that would indicate an accident. It's something that would indicate a purposeful union, because you have to have, you know, when you have two things that are, you know, like when you take a puzzle. If you take a puzzle, you want to put a puzzle together. You have to purpose to put the right piece in the right place. Amen? There has to be purpose to it. You know, chaos wouldn't have all those perfectly interlocking edges that come together. Chaos would be like things, you know, just slamming together and being, you know, like when you think of the, I think about like the plates of the that are around the earth, you know, the different tectonic plates that the continents are carried on. You know, when they move and they go into each other, that's kind of chaotic a little bit. You know what I mean? That you see like kind of things just smashing together and being formed into something else. But that's not how God does it. Amen. God was very methodical in how He did this, and we'll see this here in 1 Corinthians 14. You just write it down if you're taking notes, but otherwise just look at it up here. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:33, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." So we understand this, that God is not the creator, the author, the one who comes up with confusion. That is always an attribute given to the devil. These are important to understand, because we have to understand who our God is. We have to understand who our God is not. If we don't understand these two things, we understand really what God's will is. His will won't make sense to us. What God asks of us, none of this stuff will make sense to us unless we understand that God is not an author of confusion. It's the same thing with fear. If you deal with fear, it is not from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Every time the Bible talks about God, we see another aspect of God that is in a way that's putting things in order. Praise the Lord. When God comes in, He puts things in order. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think about this so much. And the first thing we see in the creation account is we see God coming onto, in some translations say recreation account. But we see that God, His spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. And the first thing that He did was He put things back in order. Amen. We see that because it was without form and void. And what did God do? He put it back into form and took away that wasteland. And we understand, you know, this is what is kind of throwing people off. I believe in a pre-Adamite race. I believe the Bible talks about a pre-Adamite race, that the Bible talks about not humans, but existence of beings that were here before humans were. Amen. And there's many places in the Bible where it points to such things. This is where we also believe that demons come from, because demons are not angels. And they are not humans that have gone on to be with the Lord, or gone on to not be with the Lord. Demons are demons. They're a totally different class. I mean, we're not really, it doesn't really tell us where demons come from in Scripture. You know, the Bible is not a complete history of everything. You understand that. This is a short time period in our existence, in humanity's existence, that leads us from what God, how God created us to be, to what His intent was for us. It brings us all the way through that. But you know, it doesn't cover every single thing that exists, right? It wasn't intended to. I said it wasn't intended to. Amen. The Bible has purpose. And that purpose wasn't to cover everything. Do you really think that all of that even God could have put all of creation, everything that ever happened, in this little book? I mean, you know, the Bible says that if all the works were of Jesus were recorded, there wasn't enough books on the earth to hold them, contain them. So we just see it from that. But what do we get? We get highlights, amen? We get the, you know what I mean? It's not, when you want to watch the full game, we got the highlights of the game, amen? There's another reference from my brother Scott. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But so we understand that God is, but there's a lot in there. There's a lot of things. And I brought this up. I had somebody, one of the people that left us over this kind of subject, or this was their excuse anyways. You know, they were asking me about things, and I said, well, just look at Satan. I said, the Bible tells us that he fell to earth, right? Praise the Lord. Well, where did he fall? Did he fall in the Garden of Eden? Because we already get indication in the Garden of Eden that Satan was already bad. And so we understand that. Well, there's things to understand. Like, it doesn't make sense that this earth that we live on, that the rocks and everything, it doesn't make sense that this was all created in the last 6,000 years. It just doesn't. Praise the Lord. And so that's about what the Bible's length of humanity was. But we do understand some things. We understand some things about it. That's free, no charge. And if it really bothers you, talk to me afterwards. We can have a conversation of this. You don't have to leave us. Praise the Lord. You can just find out some more. But it is one of those things that's interesting. But God doesn't create anything formless. He doesn't create anything void. He has purpose in everything that he creates. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, if you kept reading on here in the next few, the next verses, the next 20-some verses, I don't know. If you keep reading on here, in the next, we're pretty familiar generally as Christians with the account of what's going on here. In about 8 times before God created man, the Bible says, then God. Now, it says, then God said, but we knew God, when God said something, that it was an action, that it created an action. So I saw this as I was reading yesterday, that then God. And I actually went through and I underlined and highlighted each time in my Bible there where it said, then God. And it's kind of neat. About times before God created man, it says, then God. Hallelujah. Well, what does that matter for anything? The Bible is giving us specific order when it says then. It's almost like saying, okay, step one, this, step two, this, step three, this. But what we see here is before God created man, he created everything that exists before he created man. That tells us a lot. You remember, what we can know of God, we can see in creation. Amen? And so what do we see? Before God brings man on the scene, before he brought us on the earth, before we even existed, God put everything we would ever need, everything we would ever desire, anything that we could ever possibly want was here for us already in creation. And actually, you know, some people will say, well, what about people that want to go to space and explore? Well, he created those too. And he did it all before he did you and me. So praise the Lord. He put those stars out there for no other reason for us to look up and go, wow. Wow. You know what I mean? It's amazing. Amazing what he did. But we see the Bible gives a specific order. So when we see, and see, this is what we have to understand about the Bible, is that we can get revelation, even out of two words like then God. There's so much revelation in that. Then God did this. Then God did this. Then God did this. It didn't back up and say, oh, wait a minute, but before he did this. No, he's very orderly. God did this, 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 and this. Amen? You know, it never ceases to amaze me. You know, I can go try to whip something together the kitchen and it tastes like snot. You know what I mean? It just tastes like snarf or garbage. It just doesn't taste very good. And I use all the same ingredients that a chef used or whatever, that my mom used or that my wife used. I used all the same ingredients, but it didn't come out the same. And sometimes it matters on how you order them, doesn't it? And so it's the same thing with God. It matters how things are ordered, because God could have put us here first. We are God's prize possession. We are what God looks at us and loves us so much. Praise the Lord. When I have something I love, I put it first. Amen. But God, in his ultimate wisdom, he said, I'm going to make everything that they're going to need before they even come. They're not going to even know what there's things in the earth that we didn't even know about, didn't even know existed back then. And God provided it tons and tons and tons of time before. Amen. You think about when you think about the, you know, and that's I don't know why I keep getting on this, but this is interesting. You know, even in the processes of something like, well, we know, I mean, it's pretty much, not pretty much, it's scientifically proven that to get oil or coal or something like this, that it's organic material that takes a long, long time to compress and make that. They know that's where it comes from. You know, and a lot of people that, you know, well, God just sped up that process. But see, that's not how God works. There's a lot of processes God doesn't speed up. He hasn't. You can pray all day long, but the winter's going to still be about the same amount of time. You can pray all day long. The summer's still going to be about the same amount of time. Yes, there's fluctuation in it, but you know, you're not going to, generally speaking, you're not going to just get 10 years of summer in Western New York. You're just not going to do it. Amen. Well, you'd say, well, I would like 10 more hours in the day. Praise the Lord. But only on the days that I'm on vacation. Praise the Lord. But you still probably aren't going to get them. See, because God isn't just going around making a habit of manipulating things. Amen? And so we have to understand that. So we understand, and the things that God has placed in the earth, they've been there. Diamonds are formed. This is what I love. Somebody often said about God, you know, about praying to God. I think it was Brother Hagin was talking about praying to God about money. And Jesus told him, he's like, don't pray to me for money. He's like, all the money you need is down there. He's like, God's not going to send more money to the earth. Why? Because it would be counterfeit money. Well, you think about a diamond. A diamond, one of the reasons it's so precious is because of how it's formed in the earth over, what, millions of years. That doesn't happen overnight. If it did, it would be counterfeit. It'd be cubic zirconium or something. Hallelujah. It looks just like a diamond, but she won't even be able to know. She will, by the way. She'll find out. I'm not saying that from experience, but praise the Lord. My wife likes real diamonds, amen. We started with a smaller diamond, and we worked our way up to a bigger. And bigger ones coming, amen. Why? Because I love my wife. I want her to have a big diamond. She deserves a big diamond, amen. Why? Because she's my wife, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. She deserves a lot more than a big diamond for being my wife, hallelujah. Glory to God. But so we see that, you know, God's not a counterfeiter. He's not making things in chaos. He's not. We have to, how does this have anything to do with blessing me, Pastor? Just get to the blessing me part. But this is what it all has to do with that. Is God has spent, you know, he spent, if you can think of it, he spent eternity preparing things for us. He spent eternity before preparing things for us. And I just love that, amen. God thought about us even, you know, God existed forever before. He exists forever afterwards. So, you know, we come in this timeline not at the beginning. You know what I mean? Because it didn't exist, really. The beginning didn't exist. When something has no beginning, there's no beginning. Amen. And so we understand God exists outside of a beginning. Amen. But that was an awful long time beforehand. We can't even fathom it. It was an awful long time beforehand to be without a creation or anything. God was doing other things. Amen. It wasn't just sitting there with Jesus and God, or Jesus and the Holy Spirit saying, what should we do next? What should we do next? What should we do next? And then infinity in the future, they finally say, oh, let's create somebody. You know, it didn't happen that way. Amen. But there was other things going on. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So before God gave man one instruction, he prepared everything for him. Why? Because God doesn't give instructions to man unless there's a way to accomplish the instructions he's given him. And so if God's given us instruction, that's another thing that we are well able to do all that he said that we can do. We are all well able to walk out all he said. That's a blessing right there. Amen. Because we know that the plan of God, Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has plans to prosper us, to give us a future and a hope, amen? And so if that's there, then the way to get there is already there at the time of the instruction. It's very important that we see that. Now flip over to Genesis 1:26. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And it says here, then God said, let us make man in our image. The only thing of all creation that resembles God specifically. Amen. Yeah. Let us make man in our image. Well, before he said, let's make land, let's make light, let us make the moon, sun, and stars, let's make, you know, animals, but let's make man in our image. Praise the Lord. Does anybody think that God doesn't have the ability to be blessed? Is God blessed right now? God created everything. Now you think of the biggest thing that could possibly bless you in this world, and God created it. So if God has the ability to do anything, do all those things, create anything, there's probably nothing that God goes without. Am I right? Praise the Lord. And then he said, let us make man in our image. Let's make man just like that. Let's make man blessed Hallelujah. Let's make man full. Let's make man with creative power in their voice. Let's make man, hallelujah, let's make man like us. Well, he could have made us like the donkeys. He could have made us like the elephants. He could have made us like birds, or he could have made us like all these other things, but he didn't make us like them. He said, let's make them like us. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't think somebody heard me. I said, he said, let's make man like us. Yeah. Like we're like made like in his image. Yeah. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's make man in our image according to our likeness. Let's have dominion. So now we're going to make him. Now we're going to give him dominion over everything else we created. All this wonderful stuff, yeah, let him have dominion over it. Over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. Yeah, listen, he didn't repeat all the stuff about the other creation, but he keeps repeating here. Let's make man in our image. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, in case you didn't get it the first time. In the image of God, he created. Why do you think it says it so many times? Because he wants you to know it. He wants you to understand that you were created in his image and his likeness. He wants you to know that you weren't created a loser. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what your family lineage is. Because you weren't created in their image. You were created in God's image. You were created to look like God. You were created to live like God. Praise the Lord. You weren't created to be God like him. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Where am I? Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. In his image. Male and female. Male and female. We're equal. They missed it. Right there, God created them equal. Actually, I think that God was doing men a great favor by saying that God created them equal. We know that women were probably created a little bit better than us. Amen? Praise the Lord. And if you don't understand that, get married to a good woman and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Every day I'm thinking, man, she is not just a little bit better, but she's a lot better than me. But God says we're equal. I got to equal it out somewhere. So, you know, that's why guys are usually stronger, I think, or something. I don't know. But praise the Lord. Because we have to be given something. We have to be given something. He had to throw us a bone somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. I can barely, you know, I can't function without my wife in my life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I can lift things more than she can. So praise God. I'm good. There's that. I'm good for something. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So male and female he created. So he created us all to be blessed. Amen. He all created us all to be like him. Amen. Then God blessed them. I love that. God blessed them. He said, then God blessed him. He created us, then he blessed us. He created us, then he blessed us. He created me, then he blessed me. He created me. How did he bless me? Because no matter, listen, this is the thing. God has given us creative power within us. No matter where we come from, no matter what our past has been, no matter what surrounds us, no matter what obstacles we have, God has given us ability to rise above all that could come against us, all that could knock us down. He's given us all that ability. It's in us. Praise the Lord. Bible tells us that salvation is as close as our mouths. Salvation from what? Everything you need to be saved from. It's as close as your mouth. It's right there under your nose. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Hallelujah. Have dominion over it all. Be ruler of it all. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I've been thinking a lot recently about Yertle the Turtle King. You all know Yertle the Turtle? That marvelous he is king of the birds and king of the bees. Praise the Lord. I was going to go on more. I'm going to stop. But Yertle the Turtle, but he was ruler of all that he saw. He just had it in him. He was just a little turtle. Amen. But we know it didn't turn out too well for him. So I don't want to follow the story too long. But we need to have that same. We need to have that Yertle the Turtle mentality a little bit. You know what I mean? When the devil comes knocking, when the devil comes trying to destroy us, when he kind of comes to try to remove from us, trying to tell us that we're no good, trying to tell us that we can't, we need to understand that we need to have a little bit of Yertle the Turtle. Amen. We need to be able to just raise our hand and say, wait a minute, I'm king here. Yeah. Hallelujah. I said, I'm king here. Praise the Lord. I've got a new thing. I'm calling myself King of Chautauqua Ridge. Hallelujah. Well, I live on Chautauqua Ridge, and I'm king up here. Hallelujah. I don't care if anyone else wants to claim it, but I surely am. Praise the Lord. That makes her queen. Praise the Lord. So we're doing pretty good. You guys are princes. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Not prince, princes. Not princess, princes. Hallelujah. We do have a princess. Hallelujah. But we are going to rule up here on Chautauqua Ridge. Why? Because that's what God's created me to do. If you live up there, well, you can rule too. Praise the Lord. We'll just have to share the kingdom, I guess. But glory to God. God wants us blessed. Amen. He wants us full. He wants us to rule and reign in life. There is no person in this room that should not be ruling and reigning in life. Why? Because God created you to rule and reign every day of your life. It doesn't matter what comes against you, you can still rule and reign. Why? Because God's given you the ability to. He created you in His likeness, in His image. Amen? Now, imagine how the angels look at us. When we break down, we start crying. Now, we all have those moments. I've had them too. I know exactly what it's like. But can you imagine what the angels are looking down at us, knowing that we are created in God's image? They behold the face of God. The Bible tells us that our angels behold the face of God. Hallelujah. That they look into the face of God and they say they were created in His image. The Bible says that they look at us in amazement and wonder. Do you know that? The angels. Everybody wants to exalt angels, but the Bible tells us the angels look at us and are just like, wow. Like they got the Spirit of God in there. They don't know what it's like to have God on the inside of them. They don't know what it's like to be created in the image and likeness of God. They don't understand that. Amen? Because angels aren't former humans. You know that, right? Praise the Lord. Angels are angels. But they look at us and they're like, wow. But can you imagine? They see these Christians running around defeated and whooped all the time. They see them running around. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to. And they're like, you're created in the image of God. In the image of God. I mean, it's got part of their perplexion must be like, is that word perplexion? I don't know. But part of them being perplexed must be just them looking at us going, what the jack, man? What the heck is going on here? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. When God comes into your life, He creates order. Hallelujah. And so that's what God is doing here. We're seeing He's given us the ability to put order. Actually, we understand this. You know, the Bible does say that God orders of a good man, that God orders the steps of a good man, praise the Lord, of a righteous person. God orders their steps. In other words, He'll give you the steps to take. He'll give you, but you know that we are to order things as well. As we go through life, we're not just supposed to be here existing. We're supposed to order our life. That's why confusion is always of the devil, because we're not supposed to be confused at anything. We're supposed to order everything we need to. And of course, we get the download from God, but we're supposed to look at our life and say, you know what? That's out of order. I want that back in order. Put it back in order. Praise the Lord. This is out of order. It's out of order. If you know what I mean? If you're at a place where you don't know what to do, that's out of order. It's out of order for somebody who's supposed to have dominion. When was the last time you saw somebody in charge look like they didn't know what they were doing? Look like they didn't know they knew what to do. You know, yeah, I don't care what president there was. I don't care if you like them or not, but they all seem to think they know what they're doing. Has there been any leader even these crazy leaders, and like, by the way, oh, praise the Lord, glory to God. If you're into socialism, praise the Lord, look at Venezuela, I can't even say that word, Venezuela right now. Look at that country, hallelujah, and see what's happening there. People are starving. 9 out of 10 people are starving in that country. Socialism, praise the Lord, just... It's free, no charge. Hallelujah. God, socialism is anti. It's the spirit of the Antichrist, in case you didn't know. Praise the Lord. I had people much smarter than me tell me that. Praise the Lord. But it's the truth. Glory to God. He's trying to creep into this country, try to tear it apart. Hallelujah. Why? Because the devil doesn't want you blessed. He doesn't want you full. Praise the Lord. Guess what happens in those countries? People don't get full. Praise the Lord. Nobody's got dominion over anything in a dictatorship. Well, praise the Lord. Glory, that's free. No charge. Glory to God. But praise the Lord. But leaders always seem to know. They at least exhibit that they know what they're doing. They think that they know what they're doing. They're so confident. In fact, to be a leader, one of the qualifications of being a leader is you're somebody who has to believe that you know what you're doing is right. Whether it's wrong or right doesn't matter, but that's a quality that you'll find in every good leader, is that they are convinced that what they are doing is right. They're convinced that they know exactly what they do. You know what I'm saying? And see, this is the opposite of what you see in a lot of Christians. Christians aren't convinced that they know what to do. Christians aren't convinced that they can put it back in order. Christians aren't convinced how to get things out of chaos back to order. But we've been created in the likeness and image of God. We've been blessed in the likeness of image of God to put things in order. God wants us. He intended us to put things in order. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, now let's go. You're there in Genesis 1. Let's go to Genesis 2. We're going to start in verse 8. Praise the Lord. Now look at this. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man, whom he had formed. I underlined this in my Bible, and I highlighted them both. God planted, and there he put man. So this is what we see. God created everything. He created everything beautiful. He created everything amazing. He created everything with abundance. Hallelujah. And then what does he do once he creates man? The first thing he does after he blesses him is he plants a garden. God goes and makes a pretty space to put his man into. Hallelujah. And he put man in there. That's where he stuck. He didn't stick us out in the wilderness. He put us in the planted garden. Amen. Have you ever gone to, if you've ever been up to Niagara Falls in Canada, if you go to the Canadian side, because it's much prettier than the American side. But we go over there, and we were over there this summer, and you go over there, and they have just beautiful gardens right there down by the, and you know what? There's never tons of people in them. It's amazing, but they put all this money. They bring in these plants that only last throughout the summertime. They replant them every year. They probably spend millions and millions of dollars on plantings of flowers alone every year. But they do it just to have these beautiful gardens. You don't think God's garden was more beautiful than that? I'm telling you, it was. Hallelujah. But I go there, and it speaks to me about the majesty of our God. Hallelujah. But God created that garden. He put us in the middle. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. I mean, every kind that was good to look at. This tells us what he's putting us in. Amen. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Praise the Lord. Now a river went out from Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four riverheads. The name of the first is the Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of the land is good. Bdellium and the onyx stone are there. So what do we see about the land where God put man? Look, yeah, it's rich, it's full. It's good. It's got gold, and the gold is good. Praise the Lord. Money ain't bad. Gold, if it's wrong, if it's used wrong, if it's thought about wrong, it's bad. But it's not wrong. God said it was good. Originally, our whole monetary standard was based on gold and silver. Should be still, but it's not. But, well, that's free, no charge. But, but God said it was good. It was good. It's not good when it's not worth anything. Amen. Praise the Lord. By the faith of the United States government. Hallelujah. That's what it's backed up by. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Which government? Which one? I don't know. Don't get me on. Why do you keep getting me go this way? It's your fault. Praise the Lord. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and the onyx stone are there. So we see there's precious stones. Amen. Praise the Lord. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It was one of the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. Praise the Lord. Whole land of Cush. They got it easy there. You know that, right? Praise the Lord. Just saying. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes out of the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. Praise the Lord. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Have everything you want, except for one thing. Praise the Lord. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Wow. Wow. They're comparable. That's a good thing, right? Amen. Amen. Not exactly the same, though. You notice that. Didn't make him exactly the same. He made him comparable. He doesn't want us to be exactly the same. There's something real blessed about not being exactly the same. I'm glad that my wife doesn't look just like me. Amen? I'd have a real hard time cuddling up next to me at night. Hallelujah. She likes it. I don't know why, but she does. So praise the Lord for it. But I'm real glad that I get to cuddle up next to her. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Amen. So here's, we see this again. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So he gave man, you see, this, he's just given us everything to just constantly look at. Listen, the Bible says, look at creation. You want to see how God created you. Look what he did. He just, he said, brought it to you. It's like, you know how important naming things was to God in the Bible? Do you know that? Like, he changed the names of people to represent who he was making them to be. But God said, when it came to the to animals, he said, you know what? I'm not going to even take this role. I'm going to give this to you. Why? To make them be what they're going to be. Amen? We are the ones who were given that ability. No, we don't change it, obviously. But he gave that to Adam. But it's showing us what God, how God looks at us, how he looked at us. Amen? Would you, you know, if you were in the hospital, you just had a child or something, would you, like, you know, go out to the local bar and just ask anybody to name your kid for you? You know what I mean? If you're gonna name your street, somebody say, hey, I'm going to name the street, anything you want, you're going to go to the local Yahoo and just let them do it? No. You're going to think of something that means something to you, you know? We named our property, I think it was last year, I named it. Last year, the year before, you know, just it's just something I always wanted to do, was because it meant something to me. You know what I mean? Like, you don't name something that doesn't mean anything to you. And God gave us that ability. So we just see more and more and more. I hope you're getting this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 19, out of the ground. Oh, we read that. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him or comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Amen. Now we see this too, but when God created man, when he created woman, he didn't just speak us out like he did everything else. He could have, but he didn't do it. The Bible says he reached down with his hands and he formed us out of the dust of the ground. And then when he made woman, he took part of the man to make that woman, so it was part, so they'd be together, so they'd be part of one another. Amen. So they wouldn't be separate. Hallelujah. You think about what God's doing here. I mean, you don't have to look very far to see what God is trying to accomplish. He's really trying to bless us. Amen. He brought her to the man, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. I can imagine what was really said. That was God's interpretation, what Adam really said. What Adam really said was, woo-hoo! Hallelujah! Glory to God. You know, because they didn't have clothes on yet. You know that's exactly what Adam was thinking. Amen? Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah, we'll call it woman. No, he was like, yeah, woo! Well, praise the Lord. Maybe that's why I wasn't created first, because the Bible would read differently, wouldn't it? Oh, praise the Lord. Where are we? Verse 23. Verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Hallelujah. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And if there's nothing else, God tells us right there that man and woman were blessed. Yeah. Praise the Lord, because they were both naked and they weren't ashamed. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Job 19:25 says, for I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. So see, Job was looking forward to this day. He was looking forward to this understanding. He knew that his Redeemer lives. Amen. That word redeemer is really to buy back. That's what redeem means. It's to gain back or to buy back. Amen. We know that when man sinned, when man lost, they lost a lot in the Garden of Eden. We understand that. In fact, most people, most Christians understand that we would have been continually blessed had we not lost all that. But look what what Job pointed out. And of course, Job, this is the oldest book of the Bible. But we see this all the way back then. I mean, it was written, you know, it doesn't happen first, but it was written. It was the first book of the Bible written. But it says, I know that my Redeemer lives. There's one. Of course, we know that this is a prophecy of the coming Messiah, that Jesus was bringing something back to us. What was he doing? He was redeeming. You can only redeem what was lost. Amen. You don't redeem what wasn't lost. Jesus was redeeming us back to a place of being blessed, that place of dominion, that place of having authority, that place where God wanted us, intended us to be. That's what this Redeemer is all about. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now we see this, the God, so his desire was for us to be there. And then by bringing Jesus, his desire was to bring us back there after we lost it. That is so awesome. Amen. But Christians just don't live this way. They just don't. It's because they don't choose to live this way. They don't. A lot of them don't know to live this way. We can live redeemed. We are to live redeemed. We are the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. That's who we are. That is our very nature now, is being redeemed from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't know if this is just not coming over the way that it's supposed to, but man, this excites me. It excites me to know that I don't have to live the way that I always lived. That God has made me to be blessed. He has redeemed me to be blessed. So no matter how bad I screw up, he's still redeeming me to be blessed. God wants us blessed. He wants us full. He wants us helped. Glory to God. We need to be shining examples of this. This is why it is not, listen folks, it is not just something that God has given us. We have to walk in this. We have to. Because the world is not going to come to a God who has not redeemed his people. He's not going to come to a God who's given up on his people. They're not going to do that. Why? Because why would you? God, the whole purpose of this, the whole purpose of God bringing us back is so the whole world can get saved. This is what God is intending in us. We need to walk in the blessing of God. And it starts by what we claim, by what we believe, by how we trust God. Do we actually believe this stuff? Amen? There's a lot of people that don't. There's a lot of people that kind of just push it away. And they're like, well, I don't know about it because they haven't seen it in their life. Well, listen, there's ways. This is why the word was preached to us and given to us, so we could be blessed. God wants us blessed. Amen. Turn with me to Luke 11. Praise the Lord. Luke 11. Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask, Jesus is saying this, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now we know in context, this does not mean that every person that ever asks, we know that everyone who asks in faith, everyone who comes from that place of faith. And remember, you can't have faith in God unless you know what the will of God is. Right. Praise the Lord. But we understand that that's what this applies to. Amen. For everyone who asks receives, who seeks, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks will be open. If you don't believe it, it ain't going to happen. If you don't believe that God wants to bless you, that God's created you to be a blessing, to all these things, if you don't believe that, you're not going, this doesn't apply to you. Listen, we have to build our faith. Faith is imperative to build in us. If we don't build, people have gotten mad at me about talking about things like about not coming to church and stuff like that. The whole purpose of church is to get faith built in us so you can receive from God. The reason I harp on things is because I want people to be able to receive from God, which they are unable to do if they don't connect to God. They're just not able to. You can ask God. There's people out there that don't go to church that are praying all the time and never having their prayers answered. And you know why their prayers aren't being answered? It's because they don't have enough faith to have them answered. They don't have faith in God. There's no faith in God. There's not enough faith. We were saying this, we were coming, and probably not a lot of church going folks necessarily out there. But, you see the ice, and people go out and sit on the ice all day long. They can do that. They sit on the ice in the cold just to catch a fish that they may or may not catch. Praise the Lord. You can go into a nice warm building and be blessed by God. And people won't do it because they're distracted by something else. Amen? They can come up with many excuses, But the point is, what the frustration as a pastor isn't even as much because we have to feel like we have the seats full. It's because people, you know, you see people getting hurt in their lives, and all I want to do is help them, but I have to teach them the truth, because if I don't give them the truth, they're not going to get helped. And if they don't get helped, then they're going to look at God and say, well, God doesn't work anyways. That's why there's been such a great falling away from God, because churches aren't teaching this stuff anymore. There is a part we play. It's called our faith. Our faith, if it wasn't important, God wouldn't talk about it so much. It's over and over and over again. If nothing else, Hebrews 11:6, one of the most basic plain scriptures, without faith, it is impossible. Impossible to please God. It is not possible. There is no possibility of pleasing God outside of faith. Adam and Eve, when they stepped into sin, guess what they stopped doing? Pleasing God. That's what sin does. It causes us to not please God and therefore not receive from God. Amen? And it's not because God's just withholding. It's because it separates us from him. It's like pushing. It's the equivalent of slamming the door in God's face and saying, you can't come in. And because we have free will, God can't override that. And that's exactly what people do when they reject God, when they reject his house, when they reject his people, when they reject the things that he's doing. They're closing the door on God, and they're saying, I don't want your help. And God's saying, I can't do anything about that. That's exactly what it is. It's not God cursing them. It's not God coming down and saying, oh, now you're punished. Praise the Lord. The Bible says the Lord chastens those who he loves. Chastening is correcting. You understand, it's punishing, but it's correcting. Praise the Lord. That's what it is. God corrects those who he loves. He corrects them. He teaches them the way to get helped. But people who slam the door on God, they can't be helped. At some point, we have to understand this. I've had people who've sat in my church for years and still don't get this. And I don't get how, because I preach about it all the time. If we shut the door, we block God out. He can't override that. When you perpetually live in sin, what you do is you're perpetually blocking the door so God can't come in and help your life. That's why people who do nothing but what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong, and then all of a sudden something bad happens, and then they go to God, God help me, and it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen because they've already set things in motion that can't be changed. That's we need to learn about it, get it changed, and then live in right. Because God's desire is that we're blessed. His desire is that we're full. But we can't be there if we reject him. Amen? Praise the Lord. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Amen? Now, real quick, just stay here in your Bibles, but I want to show you up here, Mark 11:23. And this is how I prove what I said, because Jesus also said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, so they say it, right, and does not doubt in his heart, see that's a key part, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Faith works when you use faith. But if you don't believe it, if you don't believe that God is your redeemer, how can you be redeemed? Listen, there's people that are going to hell because they don't believe God is their redeemer. That's what happens to them. So why do we think anything else of God? If the most important things of God operate this way, why would we think anything else operates that way? We knew that Adam and Eve were blessed in the garden until they sinned. It was the sin, it was doing the opposite of what God said that closed the garden to them, that closed the ability, and God immediately took life away from them. He's the one that, he took life away from Adam. You know that. He took the tree of life away from him. He said you can't, he blocked them out of the garden. Why did he block them out of the garden? Because now he hated them, right? No, it's because that's where the tree of life was, and if they had stayed there and they ate of the tree of life, they would have lived forever in that sinful nature, and God said, I can't let that happen to man. And so what did he do? He let them die. He allowed them to die because by sending Jesus into the world, he could redeem their spirits and they could live forever with him. See, God does love people that much. That's how much that he loved them. But God isn't causing every human since then to die. But Christians still believe that. They see that death is the last enemy. They see that Satan is the author of death and author of destruction. And God is the author of life, and yet they still believe that God is taking people. This doesn't make sense. There's no sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. Not according to Scripture. Amen. Okay, we're going to continue on. Verse 11. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, I use this version in particular. In Matthew, it says, who would give good things to those who ask him. Both of those things are correct. But the reason I brought this one out is because this is a key part to what we teach. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the one who directs us and guides us into all truth. He's the one that leads us into all the truth of God. He's the one who leads us into the blessing of God. He's the one who shows us what actually belongs to us, so we ain't got to figure it out. You sit there, people sit there all the time like, well, I really want this thing. God want me to have it, because I believe if God wanted me to have it, then I would have it. Well, the easiest way to know that is by getting in tune with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will tell you what's yours. He'll say, this belongs to you. Yes. Start believing for it. Amen. You know, how many know if you look at your neighbor's land and you say, I want that, and you say, Lord, why don't you give me his land? That's called coveting. That's bad. That's so you covet something that somebody else has. It's like you're asking God to thieve it from them. But now if God says to you, comes over to you and says, you know what, that land that's next to you, that belongs to you. I've always intended it to belong to you. Then guess what? Now it's not coveting, now it belongs to you. And see, you got to know that when it's time to go in and possess the land. Because you can't go into your neighbor's land and say, hey, your land belongs to me. They'll look at you like you're crazy. But if you go in there because God says you go in there, they might just say to you, you know what, go ahead and take it. You know, however the process, you understand. But I've known of people that happened to Brother Hagin. They knew this one house was theirs. People didn't want to sell it. Finally, the people came to him and said, you know what? We want to sell it to you. Gave him a good price on it, too. Amen. You know, and that's exactly the way God moves on people. Praise the Lord. You say, well, isn't it fair? That isn't fair to other people. Well, sure it is. Because if you obey God, it's always fair. God always makes it up to you. Do you know how many times God has told me to give away something that I wanted? Do you know how many times God has told me to give away money? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, before we went on this trip, praise the Lord, I was blessed with two different times. I was blessed with $70. Somebody gave me $50. Somebody gave me $20. Praise the Lord. Guess what? I was at this trip. I wanted to bless two people. One got $50. One got $20. Hallelujah. I would love to have that money, but I will. You know, and don't anyone take that as leading. Come up to me, give me money. I'm not asking for your money. And if you give me money today, I would reject it just because I preached that today. But what I'm saying is that you understand is that sometimes God will lead us to give away to sow to increase more. That's fine, because if you're obedient to God, it doesn't matter. If you're obedient to the Spirit, it doesn't matter who you are, you'll be blessed. So if God tells me to sell you something at half the price or give it to you, praise the Lord, glory to God, amen? That's why it's good for children of God to actually own the things that they have. Why? Because if God tells you to give it away, then you ain't got to ask a bank if you can do it. You know? And the bank ain't going to let you anyway. If you still make the payments, maybe. But you know what I'm saying? But see, that's exactly. So God will give us the Bible promises he'd give us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would direct us and guide us and to tell us all things that are ours. We can know what we're blessed by. But if we don't learn how to commune with the Holy Spirit, we'll never know that. We'll walk around life bumping in the walls saying, what's mine? What's mine? What am I supposed to get? You worry about it. That's why people worry about it, because they don't know. They haven't been told. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Turn with me to John 16. You probably know where we're going. I have said, you know, I used a scripture last night. I've been in the scripture so much, but I'm not going to get tired of it. Praise the Lord. If I have to use it in every sermon, from now until Jesus comes home, praise the Lord, it'll bless us. Because God is trying to tell us something. We're in a season. We are in a time period. Just let me help you. We're in a period of time where, as a church, we need to know what belongs to us. We need to know what is ours. We need to know what we are to do. We need to understand this more than any other time in history. And that is the purpose for these scriptures. Amen? John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you or show you things to come. Hallelujah. He's going to show you what's coming. And then the next verse, he will glorify me, for he will take what of what is mine and declare it to you. Why do you think that back there in Luke that Jesus made the connection between asking, receiving, and God giving us the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is always going to help us with what's ours. What is your need? You go to God with your need. What is your need? You go to God with your need. He wants to bless you. You got to understand that. But you need to commune with the Holy Spirit and find out what's yours. Let him show you what's yours. Actually, when you get effective at this, you don't even have to sit there going to God all the time for your needs. You just start knowing what to do because you're communing with God. You're communing with the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? It's a much better place to be. I just know what to do sometimes. And I know. Here's the other thing. There's times I'll be going along my way. I'm just like, you know what? I haven't spent enough time with God. And so what do? I said, last night that happened to me. We got home from service. I had spent all day with the Lord. We got home from service. We were just kind of winding down there. We were watching. We were actually watching a story about William Branham, who was a prophet in the last century, early last century. We were watching kind of a video on him, and you know, just that I just sensed that I needed to something sparked in me, and I just needed to spend some more time with God. I spent all day with him, right? I spent all day with him, and I spent the evening with him. But then here's this, I just needed more. There's days where I don't spend that much time. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying I do good without God, but you understand there's busy days where you do stuff and stuff like that. But, just knowing that, having that connection with the Lord, knowing that I needed to seek him and take that time, it's good to stop and do that. And so that's what I did. I told my wife, and Ezra was in there at the time. I said, you know, I need it quiet because I need to just get before the Lord or something like that, you know. Praise the Lord. So we'll see that God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, Jesus is telling us the Holy Spirit is going to tell us what belongs to us. It's good to know what belongs to you. Praise the Lord. Because if you know what doesn't belong to you, you're not going to sit there seeking it anymore. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Have you ever done that? Have you ever thought, man, is that mine? Is that mine? Is that mine? We used to do that with houses all the time. We used to be like, is that our house? Is that our house? Is that our house? Or God, we want this. We want that. You know, we were just, but we never knew what God had for us because we didn't spend enough time with him to find out. When he finally showed us what it was, which was years later, when he finally showed us what was ours, guess what? It blessed us more than any. Yeah. Blessed us more than any could. Yeah. We couldn't have built it as nice. Amen? And my point to this is that God, he will lead us and guide us, but if we get out of that place of worry and get into that place of just trusting him, because that's where it's all found. That's where the blessing is found, is in the belief that God is actually going to come through for us. Not just that God, that God's up there trying to find ways to correct us all the time or something like that. God's trying to get us to that place of being blessed and living blessed. Amen? Praise the Lord.